but I'm going to share some things that the Lord has placed on my heart. And as I said, this message is called How to Get From Here to There. And obviously it begs the question, where is there? Many times we live our lives as believers thinking that there, or our ultimate goal, is to make heaven. Well, heaven may be your next destination, but heaven is not your goal. I'll say that again. Heaven may be your next destination. I'm talking about when you're all said and done and this life is over. But heaven's not your goal. See, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you made Him the Lord of your life and you've been washed in that blood, heaven's a surety for you. But that's not your goal. Your goal is whatever prescribed path God has laid out for your life. You know, we have examples of this in the Old and New Testament. I often say the Old Testament's the pattern for the Christian life. And you find in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about people who lived under the Old Covenant, it said that they suffered, many of them, but they said that they looked for a country whose builder and maker was God. And many of them wandered from place to place, not knowing where they were going, in particular Abraham. And they realized that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but they didn't quite get there because redemption was not a reality yet. And so we know that they were striving for some place. And then, of course, we have admonition in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, where it says, you know, lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so all of us have a race to run. And whenever you're running a race, there is a goal. There is a finish line. Now, listen to me. I said earlier, heaven may be your destination, but it's not your goal. If heaven were the goal, then God would have arranged this thing so that we all come to Christ, die, and immediately go there. But that's not His plan. And it frustrates me at times when I talk with people, especially believers, Christian people. And you know, I go to them, hey, how you doing? And they say stuff like this. Well, He woke me up this morning. Okay, that's a start. But that's not your goal. Are you with me? You know? I said to one guy, good to see you. He said, good to be seen. Well, that's cool. That's great. But that's not your goal. You know, I made it through the night. I'm still here tomorrow. What we have to do is ask a little further, probe a little further, and ask, okay, I'm here today, but why? What do you want me to do? What do you have in store for me? Well, I'm going to show you how to get from here to there. And there is not necessarily heaven. If you're in Christ, you got heaven made. But there is purpose. There is God's plan for you. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, said in Ephesians chapter 2, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or for good works. And that word workmanship denotes the work of a master craftsman. I mean, God has put a lot into you that you may not realize. And He did it before He thought about creating the universe. He had you in mind, and He had a specific purpose for you in mind, and He had a plan for your life in mind. It's hard to wrap your brain around this stuff, but it's true anyhow. Amen. Before God created the universe, He had you in mind, and He knew exactly what you were supposed to do. And He put all of these things along the journey so that you could get from here to there. Now, let's look at Psalm number 1. I'm going to give you some keys that'll show you how to get from here to there. The first psalm. This is a psalm that I love, and I spent a lot of time in this psalm many, many years ago. Notice what it says. The first psalm. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But I want you to notice this. Blessed is the man that does certain things. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. These are lifestyle choices. Blessed is the man who does not do these things. But rather, his delight, the Hebrew word chefetz, is in the law of the Lord. Now the word law, Torah, refers to the spiritual principles or statutes of God. But his delight, chefetz, is in the law of the Lord. That word delight literally means something that's pleasurable. Or rather, something that is considered valuable. And so here is the first key from getting here to there. How many of you guys have GPS in your car, in your automobile? Or navigation in your car? Cell phone, that would count. Right. I got it on my cell. I got, you know, hey, anytime I go anyplace, I hit the blue button, OnStar. I need directions too. And they know where I am. But then it lays out a prescribed course to get to where I want to go. And so if I want to get to where I'm supposed to go, I need to follow the directions, right? And see, sometimes, if we're not careful, you can do things like I used to do, or like most men used to do. There was a time, and it may be the case with some of y'all, I changed, where we didn't like to ask anybody for directions. You know, I remember last time I was in Florida. I'm driving through Tampa, and it's late at night, and I don't know Tampa, Florida. I don't know good neighborhood from bad neighborhood. And so I'm trying to find this place to get back to Brandon, Florida, where my sister-in-law lives. Somebody says, why don't you pull over and ask somebody? Oh, I think I got it. I think if I go down here and make a right, you know, like I know. So finally, after driving around in circles for 20 minutes, I figured I better ask somebody. So I pulled into this gas station. And this gas station looked like Fort Knox, you know, plated glass and bars and all this. I said, ooh, this must not be a good neighborhood. Yeah, I definitely want to get from here to there. But listen, God's Word is our GPS, navigation. This will illuminate our lives so that we can get from here to there. So notice the psalmist said, but his delight he takes pleasure in, he considers valuable God's precepts and statutes. I tell you what, God's Word is a necessary ingredient if you want to get from here to there. Amen. Now, I'll tell you about me. I love the Word. I love it. I spend time in the Word every day. I don't miss a day. You know why? I need it. Amen. I need it. It is so valuable to me. Now, I don't spend time in the Word every day because I'm a pastor. I don't spend time in the Word every day to get stuff for sermons and lessons. I spend time in the Word every day because I need it for me. Amen. I need it for me. It is life to me. It's healing to me. It is refreshment to me. It is everything that I need to get through my day and get from here to there. Now, notice what he said. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, listen. We live in a time and in an age. I get inquiries often to help missionaries and ministers in other parts of the world so that they can get the word into the hands of their people. We need Bibles. Okay, great. How can I say, no, I can't use your Bible over there. You can't. No, I need it in Farouk. Well, I don't know what Farouk is. What language is that? I can get you English. No, we need Farouk. Send me money. No, I'm not doing that, you know? But there are people that are desperate and are so hungry for God's Word because they don't have Bibles. Well, guess what? We got Bibles in abundance. You know, I've got God's Word on my smartphone. I've got a Bible app on my smartphone. So now when I go to the hospital to visit the sick, I don't have to carry in a Bible. I got it right here. I can pull up any scripture in 30 or 40 different translations on my smartphone. And I can share the word with people from my phone. How fortunate we are. I've got the Word of God. I've got a Bible app on my Kindle. I got a Kindle Fire. And it's got Wi-Fi, so any place I got Wi-Fi, I can get online and I can study the Bible in 23 different translations. Or just read the Scripture in 23 different translations. And I mean, hey guys, we got no excuse. Amen. Well, Pastor Young, I don't have a Bible. I'll give you one. I'll give you one. We got a bunch of them, man. In fact, you know, if you look in the pew in front of you, you see all those song books? Greg and Margie, if you would, between this week and next week, let's get rid of all them song books. Get them out of there. We don't use them. Okay? We don't need them for decoration. All right? And there are some Bibles downstairs. Let's make sure that each section has a Bible in it. All right? There's some brand new Bibles down there. We're going to put God's Word in front of you. All right? And it bothers me when I see Christian people, and I'll tell you a story. Years ago, I was a commercial lines underwriter with Nationwide Insurance in Butler, PA. And, you know, my job was to, you know, help business agents write policies and, you know, implement safety programs and bus fleets, trucking, all the stuff that underwriters do. And the Lord impressed upon my heart to start a Bible study at the office. Well, you might think, oh, you can't do that. I did it. You know, I contacted the right people. I said, hey, you know, how about a lunchtime activity? Let's have a Bible study. They said, that's a great idea. So I had all these people coming to my Bible study. And you know what shocked me? They didn't have Bibles. Especially the Catholic ones. This is back in the 70s. You know, things have changed a little bit since then. But I said, you guys don't have a Bible? No. I said, well, you need to learn God's Word. You know, well, we go to Mass, we go to church, we listen to the homily, we listen to the sermon, and some people think that's enough. I got news for you. That ain't enough. If you come to MGCC and you listen to me teach, that's good stuff, but it ain't enough. If you want to get from here to there, it's not enough. Amen. You need to feed on God's Word for yourself. Every day. Amen. Remember when we were kids, Victor? Late at night, this used to come on. If you're watching the news, local news, a little chime would go off and say, it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Remember that? Some of y'all remember that? Yep. Well, hey, it is 11:45 in the a.m. Do you know where your Bible is? Amen. Don't answer that question out loud. That's for your reflection. You need the Word. Amen. It is the source of strength. It's food for your spirit. Now listen to me. As you're going from here to there, there are some nice things that God will give you along the way. Mm-hmm. And we find some of them in this first psalm. Notice this, Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So as you're going from here to there and you're using the key of God's Word, God will enrich your life so that the things that you do in life will last, they will endure, and you will prosper. Now, what does it mean to prosper? It doesn't mean five bedrooms and a Cadillac. Prosper means to thrive, to succeed, Amen. To do well. Amen. Along the journey from here to there, if you will do it God's way, you will thrive, you will succeed, you will do well. Let's look at some other scriptures. I want to show you some other keys, things that will help you get from here to there. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We're in Psalm 1. Just go to the right. Proverbs chapter 8, about 30, 40 pages. Proverbs chapter 8. Now, here in this chapter, you find that the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to speak in the first person as the wisdom and truth of God. And notice what is said in Proverbs 8, and we'll pick it up with verse 34 and 35, then we'll look at some other verses. Proverbs 8, 34. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now, notice wisdom is crying and saying, hey, if you want wisdom, here I am. You don't have to look very far for me. I'm right here. And here's what I'll do if you seek me. And then wisdom speaks and says this, blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates. Daily. Everybody say daily.
Daily.
Now, I had a teacher who used to say this, you know, there are too many Christians who feed their spirit one cold snack a week, feed their bodies three hot meals a day, feed their spirit one cold snack a week, and they wonder why they have no power, no vitality, no vigor.
Amen.
Well, you need to feed your spirit daily, just as you feed your body daily. Your spirit needs to be fed. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, I tell you what, you do make sure you get that bread, don't you?
Man.
You sure do. I don't know about you, but we spend quite a bit of money on groceries. I don't spend as much as I used to. But we make sure that we eat, and we eat good. Amen? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we eat a little too good. Well, you need to feed your spirit. There's one thing about Job that the Bible says that most people often overlook. We know he's perfect and upright and, you know, he feared God and eschewed evil. But there's one passage that says that Job was the kind of guy where he desired God's word more than he did his necessary food. Food is necessary for your body to survive on the earth. Job understood that. But he had more of a hunger for the Word of God than he did for rice and beans.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
A hunger for God's Word. Well, the second key to getting from here to there, the first one is be a person who meditates in the Word of God daily. The second key is to hunger for truth and wisdom. You got to hunger for it. You got to want it. You with me? Now, we're in Proverbs chapter 8. Back up to Proverbs chapter 4. Notice in chapter 8 it said, whoso finds me shall find life and obtain favor of the Lord. Here are some other things you can pick up on your journey from here to there. Life. Not only prosperity, but life and favor of the Lord. That means God will work on your behalf. You'll have favor. Notice Proverbs chapter 4. For those of you who come to Word Power on Wednesday night, this is a very familiar passage to you. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. The Hebrew word marpe literally means medicine. God's word is medicine to our flesh. Well, if you went to the doctor, if you had an ailment or a condition and he gave you a prescription and told you to take this pill once a day, well, don't you think you'd be wise to take it, provided the doctor knows what he's doing and he's correct? Well, here's something that's free. And God said it would be medicine to all your flesh. And so there's another benefit that you pick up along the way as you're going from here to there. Healing and health are part of God's plan. Notice Proverbs chapter 3. Notice the first verse. Here's some other things you can pick up along the way. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So here's some other things that you pick up along the way as you're going from here to there. Length of days. That phrase literally means years of life. Long life and peace. Long life and peace. You know, when I was a young boy, I had a pastor who was a godly man, respect him, loved him with all my heart, but he said something to me when I was about 12 or 13 that scared me. He said, well, son, life at times is like pulling thread out of a barrel. Some threads are short, some threads are long. You never know how much time you have. And that thought bothered me for years. And I literally lived my life in fear that I could die at any moment. Now, you may not be able to identify with that, but it was real to me. Because that's what the preacher said. Then I remember the day I found these verses. Oh man, did that liberate me. Set me free. Because I realized that I didn't have to live in fear of having a short thread. If I would walk and hunger after God's word, He would add years to my life. Everybody say years.
Years.
Then I went a little further and found Psalm 91 where it says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And I often minister to people who are, especially if they're older, I always tell them, don't check out till you're ready to leave. You know, don't just assume because you're 70, 80 that you got to check out at any moment. You stay till you're satisfied.
Amen.
Now, some of y'all will look at me like a dog at a new pan. You know, huh? Hang around, you'll get it.
Amen.
Amen? You know, James is the one who wrote to the church and said, you know, the reason you don't have is because you don't ask. And see, when you have that great relationship with God, you can ask Him, and you'd be surprised what He'll do for you. You'll be surprised what it'll do for you. Well, Pastor Bill, I don't have that kind of relationship. Doesn't matter. I can prove to you that God will bless you and you don't have to be perfect.
All right.
Ooh, there's a revelation. You don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
Nathan the prophet was admonishing David the king. I mean, David did some bad stuff, man. Just messed up royally. People got killed. And Nathan is admonishing him by the Spirit of God and said this, I gave you this, I gave you that, and this is what the Holy Spirit said through Nathan to David. And I'd have given you more if you'd have just asked me. All you had to do was ask. I'd have given it to you. Well, I got news for you. As you're getting from here to there, part of the stuff you find along the way is long life. Don't leave it behind. Take it with you. Take it with you. It belongs to you. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
It belongs to you. Now, you can leave it by the side of the road if you want to. I'm taking mine. Okay. And you can leave yours in the bushes if you want to. I'm going to grab mine. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go a little further. Notice verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, here is some practical instruction. Here are some things we need to do if we want to get from here to there. Fear the Lord. Now, that does not mean that we are afraid of God. But it simply means that we have a reverence of God.
Amen.
I respect holy things. I respect godly things. That doesn't mean I fall into the trap of religion and tradition. You know, there are a lot of things that I used to do that I've modified and changed.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed? This is week number 3 with no tie. Hey, that was huge for me, man. Huge. Thank God Valerie got me out of the tie. You know, you're not going to lose your salvation if you take your tie off, man. Hey, listen. The ties are coming back. When it gets cold, I'm putting my tie back on. But there are a lot of things that we can take advantage of in life. And we can enjoy it. Are you with me? But the Bible says there are certain things that we need to avoid. All right? And so I have that reverence for God. Fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means having an awesome respect for godly things. Or, one guy put it like this, and I like this definition, an awesome dread of doing anything that would displease your Heavenly Father. So I don't want to displease Him in any area. I want to serve Him. I want Him to be pleased with my life.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And there's nothing in the Bible that says, thou shalt wear the tie every Sunday. All right? So you can live without a tie. Sister Bobby's laughing. All right. Notice what it says. We're in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. I mean, depart means leave. Are you with me? It's pretty simple. Leave evil. There's nothing there good for you. Nothing good's going to come out of it. You're only going to be worse because of it. And I used to get to the point where I thought, why am I going to do this? I'm going to end up repenting anyway. Why not save the whole hassle? I know it's not godly, so I just turn around and walk away. Notice this. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Well, here again, some things we can pick up along the way. Health and moistening to our bones. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor God with your giving. And there are some other things that you can pick up along the way as you're going from here to there. God will cause you to thrive and to prosper. Are you with me? We're in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go to verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, the man that gets understanding. The merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things that you can desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Wisdom and understanding. A hunger for the truth of God's word. A hunger for wisdom. A hunger for understanding. You need to understand this stuff. In part, that's what my assignment is, to help you understand this stuff. It's one thing to hear good preaching, but if you don't understand it, you won't do it. Amen. You'll leave church and, woo, glory to God, hallelujah, got goosebumps. That was some good preaching. All right, good. Wait 24 hours. What are you going to do with it now? You need to understand it.
Amen.
Now, there are times, invariably, if you're studying the Bible, particularly the New Testament, that's what you need to focus on. You know, you may not understand some things. Guess what? We have a helper called the Holy Spirit. And if you ask Him, He'll help you to understand things that perhaps you don't have light on clearly. And don't try to read, you know, 15 chapters of the Bible every morning. Man, that's overload. You know, just do it in nice, easy bites that you can consume every day.
Amen.
I had somebody say, this is a good program. You know, there's certain scriptures you need to read every day. But it's good if you read Psalms in the morning and Proverbs at night. There are 31 Proverbs. You got one for every day. I've been reading Proverbs for decades. And I always learn something. Almost every time I pick up the book.
Amen.
That's how God speaks to us primarily through His Word. So if we will hunger for the truth, hunger for wisdom, hunger for understanding, that's how you get from here to there. There are some good things that we'll pick up along the way. Amen? Now, let me see if I can wrap this up today for you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at two last passages. Joshua chapter 1. You'll find that after the Pentateuch. You know what the Pentateuch is? First five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then you find Joshua. I had a little acronym, little things to help you remember these things. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Well, that's the order you find the books in. Joshua. Now, Joshua was thrust into a situation where he had to lead God's people from here to there. There was his promise. There was Canaan, the promised land. Now listen to me carefully. The previous generation, under the leadership of Moses, and it wasn't Moses' fault, didn't get from here to there because of unbelief. They would not believe. And so they wandered around in the wilderness for over 40 years when they could have entered into God's promise in 7 to 11 days. But unbelief kept them out. It wasn't the will of God that kept them out. It wasn't God's sovereignty that kept them out. It was their unbelief. And so their lack of faith cost them dearly. So now Moses is dead. And God says to Joshua, I want you to step up. I want you to be courageous. I want you to take these people into the promise. That's there. Only be strong and very courageous, for unto this people will you divide for an inheritance the land that I promised their fathers. Three times he told him, be strong and courageous. Three times. Three times in a matter of moments he told him, be strong and courageous. You know why? Because you're going to have opposition. You need to be strong. You need to be prepared. You need to be courageous. When opposition pops up, don't back down. Because you have an enemy who doesn't want you to get there. And he will at times throw obstacles in your path and stick his head up to keep you from getting there. So you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. You need to know that there is where you're supposed to be. So notice what he told Joshua. What he told Joshua will work for you. Notice verse 8, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do. Underline those three words. Observe to do. Observe to do. According to all that's written therein, for then shall you make your way prosperous, then shall you have good success. But notice the key for Joshua in leading God's people from here to there was the word. So he had to fill himself with the Word, meditate on the Word, so that he could do the Word. Observe to do. You shall meditate therein that you may observe to do. Here's key number three. The first key was, anybody remember what it was? There you go, the Word of God. The second one is, have a hunger for truth and wisdom. And the third one is, do it. Do it. And God told Joshua, you're going to divide for these people the land that is their inheritance. But in order for you to do that, you're going to have to spend time in the Word, meditate in it, put it in your mouth. That's how you meditate. Speak God's Word that you may observe to do everything that's in it. That is the third key to getting there. Now, write this scripture down. You don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6, 46. Remember that verse. Look it up when you get home. Jesus was talking to his disciples one time and talking about a situation. And he said something that was striking. You know, when you think about it, it's pretty profound. And Jesus said this in Luke 6, 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In other words, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I ask you to do? Do you know what the word Lord means? Well, that's just a title we ascribe to Jesus. No, the word Lord means owner. You know what a landlord is? They own the land. Okay? And so if you call him Lord or owner, it's like saying, Jesus, I'm all yours. You own me. But I don't want to do what you told me to do. Well, either he owns you or he doesn't. Are you with me? Or is he Lord in name only? Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I ask you to do? Something to think about, isn't it? Turn with me now to John chapter 2. We'll close with this. John chapter 2. Talking about getting from here to there. John chapter 2. You guys learning anything? Good. We're making great time. John chapter 2. We're going to look at an event that happened at a wedding. Weddings are such blessed events. I was at a wedding yesterday. Valerie's niece, Asia Horton, married David Dickerson. It was nice. Really nice. You know, this just something about weddings. God shows up. He does. God shows up. Because that's His design. And it was an awesome thing. And every time I do a wedding, I mean, the anointing shows up. People may not realize it, but I know it. I know it because He wants to enrich people's lives. Well, this is a wedding that Jesus and the disciples were invited to. And notice John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.'" Now, we lose a lot in the translation. Jesus was not being smart with His mama. You know, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" I mean, if I'd have said something like that to my mother, I'd better duck. You know, because she liable to... Any of y'all had a mama like that? You know? She'd strike first and ask questions later. One time I was in the... Should I tell the story or not? I'll tell it. Yeah, I know. I was in the 10th grade, thought I was a little big for my britches, you know. And some of us are of the same generation, so you can identify with this. So I remember it was when I was in the 8th grade, I had to beg my mother to let me wear bell bottoms. I mean, bell bottoms were like a no-no. And I begged and I cried. And so I got these pants that were like semi-bells, you know. And so I thought I was pretty cool. Well, now I'm in the 10th grade. And I decided I was going to wear a headband to school. So I had this headband. And it was, I don't know how I had it tied in the back. You know, I thought it was my brother and sister looking at me. You know, because I'm the oldest. So they, I know what they're thinking. If he can wear a headband, I can get away with something. And so I walked into the living room. Mama wanted to see us before we went to school. I got this headband on. And my mother said, "What is that?" I said, "That's a headband." She said, "Take that thing off your head." And I said something I shouldn't have said to my mother. Now, understand, I'm not a profane person. I didn't use profanity. But I said something in a tone that I shouldn't have said to my mother. And Brian, the next thing I know, I had taken a right cross to the jaw. Pow! And she hit me so fast, I never saw it coming. Wham! And I'm thinking, whoa, did she just hit me? She smacked me so hard. And as I, you know, I'm gathering my senses and I'm standing up straight, my mother said, "Don't you ever say anything like that to me." And my brother and sister are standing there looking at me. And what am I going to do? I said, "I'm sorry, Mama." Took the headband off and went to school. And so you got to be careful when you say stuff to your mother. And some of you can identify with that. But I want you to know, Jesus was not being rude to His mother. "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" No, listen, that was His mother. He revered and respected her. Literally what He's saying to her was, "Mom, God hadn't said anything to me yet." You with me? God hadn't said anything to me. She says, "They're out of wine." He said, "Ma, God ain't said anything to me." You know? Now, notice what happened after that. We're in John chapter 2. Verse 5. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. So Mary had an expectation that this situation was not going to remain the same. She didn't understand how, but she knew Jesus was about to do something. And she said to those around, whatever he says to you, do it. So she had faith in her heart for something. Well, we know what happened next. Jesus told these servants or attendants at the wedding, fill the water pots with water. Well, these water pots were huge. They held about 48 gallons apiece. And so they filled them up with water. And then Jesus said, bear out of the water pots and take them to the governor of the feast. Now, the governor of the feast is looking for wine, not water. And here's one thing that I realized. Even when the Holy Spirit's in manifestation with working of miracles, somebody still has to do something.
All right.
Somebody still has to do something. And so they dipped into that water pot and they started heading to the governor of the feast and they poured the, I don't know when it turned to wine,
all right,
but when it hit his glass, it was wine.
Amen.
And he complimented not Jesus, but the guy who was in charge of the wedding for saving the good wine. See, when you love God, when you care about godly things, you don't care who gets the credit.
All right.
You just want people to be blessed. You don't care who gets the credit.
Amen.
I'm always weary of people, leery of people who tell me, you know, I did this, that, and the other. Okay. I've had people come to me over the years, well, I got all 9 gifts of the Spirit, and my space cadet meter goes off. Well, I know what they mean, but you don't possess the gifts of the Spirit. These things happen as the Holy Spirit wills. And I've rarely met anybody who had all 9 manifestations flow through them. If it happened to you, that's good. I just never met anybody. You with me? Space cadets. They're out there. But hey, guess what? Even space cadets can be helped.
Amen.
Even space cadets can be helped. So here's an emphasis on that third key. Whatever he says to you, do it. To get from here to there, number one, you've got to treasure and value his word. It's got to be precious to you, a valuable thing. Number two, you've got to hunger for the truth of God's word, the wisdom of God. How hungry are you? How bad do you want it? And number three, whatever he says to you, do it. And you will get from here to there. Heaven may be your destination, but it's not your goal.
Right.
Your goal is to fulfill God's purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And he has something grand in store for you. But it's up to you to get there. Amen? Did you guys learn anything today? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. We want to pray.